Robin Towns is a native of Atlanta. She's the widow of Robert Forrest Towns of Athens, Georgia. They were married 45 years. She has 4 children and 10 grandchildren. It's going to be a great Christmas at your house. She is a member of the Bogart United Methodist Church in Bogart, Georgia. Since I'm a Methodist preacher, that's a good thing. She was educated at the University of Georgia with a Bachelor of Business Administration, and she graduated cum laude. She is a professional verifying genealogist for the Colonial Dames of America, New York City, New York. Robin, as I asked her a while ago, I said, you must be a member of everything. I've got 3 pages of things that Robin is a member of, or the president of, or the chairman of. And she is a busy lady. I'm going to read you a few. She is a presiding officer of national societies, which are the National Gavel Society, Founders Fellowship, Presidential Families of America. She's a general president general, descendants of early postmasters, founder and postmaster general, Dutch Colonial Society, immediately past president, National Society of Southern Dames of America, national past president, National Society of the Sons of American Revolution, NSSAR Ladies Auxiliary, past president. She's a member of the Hereditary Society Memberships and Activities, the SAR National Ladies Auxiliary, the Georgia SAR Ladies Auxiliary. She's a daughter of the American Revolution. She was a state chair for Constitution Week. She is the past service historian, state registrar, state recording secretary, and state librarian, advisor to debutantes, state chair friends of the DAR Library, coordinator of districts, Northeast District Director, Conference Chair, 104th State Conference of Georgia Cameo Society, Organizing Treasurer, Georgia Chapter Regents Club, State Outstanding Chapter of Regents, and 2 more pages full.
Wow.
She is coming to give us a wonderful program today. But I didn't know you pronounced it Mowena.
Mowena.
I was watching Polgar the other night.
And that's Mowena.
That's Mowena, okay.
I watched Polgar
too. Maybe El Michael. I keep thinking I look like Polgar. And she is the populatium. This is going to be an outstanding program. Let's give Mary Robin Redford Towns a wonderful SAR welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you're a Methodist too. I'm so glad to be here tonight. I love SAR. I've been very active in the SAR. I started the Georgia SAR Ladies Auxiliary. And at last count, we've given, I don't know, $20,000 to the SAR, Center for Advancing America's Heritage, which I understand now has a new name, and I'm not sure what it is, but you know what I'm talking about. If any of you have been to Louisville, it's just fabulous, the SAR Museum there. Anyway, SAR was a big part of my life for many years until my husband passed away, but I still attend the Athens chapter meetings, and love SAR very much. It's meant very much to me. I'm here tonight to talk about the Poppy Lady. Now, a lot of people don't know about the Poppy Lady, but we here in Georgia especially do need to know about the Poppy Lady. Mowena Mel Michael started the movement to sell poppies to support veterans. And this is a worldwide movement. Mowena Michael was born on what is now known as 3698 Mowena Michael Road in Good Hope, Georgia, which is in Walton County. She was the eldest daughter and second of the 7 children of John Marion Michael and Alice Sherwood. She was distantly related to General Francis Marion on her father's side and the Wise family of Virginia, of the Virginia State Governors on her mother's side. Both sides of her family had Huguenot ancestry, with origins in Brittany and Flanders, respectively. Her family were wealthy and owned a cotton plantation until 1898. She was educated at the Braswell Academy in Morgan County and the Martin Institute in Jefferson, Georgia. She became a teacher in 1885, initially in Good Hope, and then later in Monroe, Georgia. She taught at the Lucy Cobb Institute and Normal School, both, of course, located in Athens, where I live. She studied at Columbia University in New York City in 1912 and 13. Moina Michael, an education professor from a small Georgia town of Good Hope, was in Germany on the final leg of a European vacation when World War I unexpectedly broke out, which was 1914, forcing her to flee to Italy and to try to find a ship so she could make her way home. After the harrowing 16-day trip on the RMS Carpathia through mine-infested waters and the ocean patrolled by enemy submarines, she returned to the relative quiet of Athens, Georgia, to her home, and returned to teaching at the State Normal School in Athens. But she did not find peace. The nation was fixated on the war, and Moina Michael did everything she could to bring comfort to soldiers awaiting deployment. She made sure soldiers were adopted by local families. She also set up a campaign for the families to write to the soldiers while they were overseas. This is a quote. "How busy everyone was kept back in those days responding to and arousing others to respond to the superhuman struggles to win the war," Michael wrote in her autobiography. "I anguished for some power by which our boys might be saved from gas, bombs, and shrapnel." She was a professor at the University of Georgia when the United States entered World War I in April 1917. She took a leave of absence from her work and volunteered to assist the New York-based training headquarters for overseas YWCA workers. By chance, a young soldier left a copy of the Ladies' Home Journal on her desk with a page marked containing Lieutenant Colonel John McRae's famous poem "In Flanders Fields," describing the war's devastation, which we're, of course, all familiar with. "The last verse transfixed me," she wrote. "To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break the faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields." On November 9th, 1918, 2 days before the armistice that ended World War I, Moina Michael wrote her own reply to McRae's poem entitled, "We Shall Keep the Faith." In tribute to the opening lines of McRae's poem, "In Flanders Fields the poppies grow, between the crosses row on row," she vowed to always wear a red poppy of Flanders Field as a symbol of remembrance for those who served in the war and the emblem of keeping the faith with all who died. She left her office and scoured local flower shops in search of silk poppies to share with businessmen, veterans, and soldiers. After the war, Athens and the University of Georgia became a hub for veteran rehabilitation. Michael taught a class of disabled servicemen and every Monday attended Disabled American Veterans chapter meetings. She even planted poppies on what is now the University of Georgia's Health Sciences campus. She also launched a national letter writing campaign encouraging others to adopt the poppy. The American Legion designated the red poppy as its official flower in 1920, and the distribution of poppies became a Legion national program in 1924 until the present. The soldiers who made the poppies for sale in America were classified as unfit for any employment by the government because of their war injuries, so they could not be hired. But they could make these little poppies, said Tom Michael, who donated historic materials about his great aunt Moina to the University of Georgia's Harvard Rare Book Room and Manuscript Library. Other countries quickly followed suit. Remembrance poppies have been worn in the UK, Australia, and Canada since 1921, and in New Zealand since 1922. In the United Kingdom, many don a red poppy on Remembrance Day, a holiday similar to Veterans Day, which is also observed on November the 11th. There, the British Royal Legion distributes about 45 million remembrance poppies and raises about $64 million annually to assist retired or injured soldiers. The funds support recovery centers, dementia care, medical expenses, and even household repairs for veterans. In 2016, nearly 3.5 million American Legion auxiliary puppies were distributed, raising $2.1 million for American veterans. Michael was even featured on a U.S. postage stamp in 1948, a red 3-cent stamp with her image, name, and the title, founder of the Memorial Poppy. Here's the stamp, and I have one for each of you. I'll give out that. Yet today, she is one of Georgia's and the University of Georgia's hidden treasures. Most people in Georgia don't even know who she is, said Rory Mize, a library associate at the University of Georgia School of Law and a member of the Melina Michael Poppy Project, a group that raises awareness for Michael and sells craft poppies to benefit veterans. I knew about her because my parents were both members of the American Legion. My father was a veteran, and as a kid, I would go with my mom, and we would sell poppies for the American Legion, Mize said. Members of her group crochet and cross-stitch poppies using plastic, canvas, and paper. They sell them online and at festivals. We've been working for 3 years now to buy an all-terrain wheelchair for a veteran through the Independence Fund. That's $15,000. That's a lot of $3 and $5 poppies, Mize said. I myself have personally known exciting stories about Melina Michael since I was a small child. My mother sees every experience in life as a teaching opportunity. As a preschooler, I vividly remember riding in the grocery cart at the Colonial Store at North Decatur and Claremont when a lady approached us and offered poppies to my mother. Of course, Mama gave a donation and received two poppies, one of which she pinned on me. As was her nature, she seized the moment to explain to me in great, exciting, and vivid detail just how Melina Michael had started a worldwide movement for honoring veterans and raising funds for veterans through the sale of poppies. Mama continued the lessons whenever we passed through Monroe or Walton County, where Melina Michael is buried, and Athens, where she spent much of her life. I heard about Melina Michael a lot when I was a child. With the centennial of the Armistice here, there is a renewed interest in remembering Melina Michael. Her hometown of Good Hope, there's a road named after her and a corresponding historical marker. Another historical marker denotes her birthplace. Good Hope changed its annual fall festival to the Poppy Festival to honor Michael. The festival features historical displays, a bike ride, a Miss Poppy pageant, and vendors selling items from handmade poppies and crafts to poppy t-shirts. And in downtown Athens, there's a plaque remembering the Poppy Lady across from the University of Georgia's historic arch in the Broad Street median. The fact that she was able to accomplish what she did as a woman from Georgia in her day and age was truly remarkable, said James Cobb, Vinnie Spaulding Professor of History Emeritus at the University of Georgia. For many Americans, our intervention in World War I quickly became something to forget rather than celebrate. Her actions helped to reaffirm the strength of patriotic sentiment. Known as the Poppy Lady for her humanitarian efforts, Melina Michael received numerous awards during her lifetime. She retired from the University of Georgia in 1934 and in 1941 published her autobiography, The Miracle Flower, the story of the Flanders Field Memorial Poppy. In 1944, a Liberty ship constructed in Georgia was named the SS Melina Michael in her honor. In 1948, 4 years after her death, the U.S. Postal Service issued the commemorative 3-cent stamp honoring her life's achievement. In 1969, the Georgia General Assembly named a section of U.S. Highway 78 in Walton County the Melina Michael Highway. And in 1999, she was named to the Georgia Women of Achievement Hall of Fame. Melina Michael was also a member of DAR. She was a member of the Elijah Clark chapter in Athens, of which I was formerly a member and the chapter regent during our 100th anniversary. And the Elijah Clark chapter along with others, makes a very large effort to promote the story of Moena Michael. But that's the story of our little lady from Georgia, Moena Michael, who changed things, changed the world, and we should all be very proud of her and her contributions to the welfare of our veterans.
Thank you.